Hey.
We're a professional podcast.
They put
us on the internet.
Seems like it. Yeah.
I read some reviews this week. All but one were great.
I know which one you're talking about.
She didn't think we were Christians at all, so that's fine. And I get that with my music all the time.
Hey, everybody. Thank you so much, truly, for checking out this 10,000 Minute Experiment podcast. We have another great conversation in store for you today. But before we jump in that, I just wanted to say thank you for all of you guys who have jumped in to support what we're doing with 10,000 Minutes. Hopefully, this has really been helpful for you and good for your soul and something that's challenging you to actually be more aware of Jesus all week long. I just want to jump out there and say, hey, this week, thank you, Lisa, Jim, Ryan, Tony, Lee, and Anne for jumping in this week. Some of you have jumped in monthly. Some of you have been doing one-time gifts. Some of you have been giving for years. So I just want to say I see you and I'm so grateful for you in this. So thanks for partnering with us. Also, I just wanted to say thank you for those of you who jumped in and did the survey. You can go to 10,000minutes.com and actually give us some feedback about how this is going and how we can actually help you, again, be aware of Jesus all week long. So for all of these things, please go to 10,000minutes.com. Once again, 10,000minutes.com, 10,000minutes.com. So today we've got a good friend of mine, another guy who I walk with, and we physically walk. Not only is Jordy Searcy an incredible human and incredibly wise, but he's a crazy great singer-songwriter that is kind of blowing up in his own way right now, and it's so fun. Everybody around me seems to love this guy named Jordy Searcy, and then they find out that I'm friends with him, and all of a sudden I'm kind of a big deal. So I hope you'll enjoy just going on a walk, in a sense, with some of my friends. Check it out. All right, everybody, Tim Timmons here with another 10,000 Minute Podcast, The Experiment.
We are back, baby.
We're back, baby. We got Moy Donis over here.
Hi.
We got Christopher Cleveland.
Oh, hey, guys.
Well, the stars have gone dim this summer because you've been on the road playing a lot of shows.
I've been gone like 5 weeks straight.
Yeah, it's been great to be your friend.
Yeah, you've been
I was gone 5 weeks straight. We're doing great.
I haven't talked to anything but like random hotel clerks.
Yeah.
Is that what you call them? I'm not sure. Yeah. Front desk workers.
Front desk clerks.
Yeah.
It's a clerk.
Yeah.
Hotel employees.
Anyways. Hey, if that hurt your feelings or if anybody was offended
just,
by that,
TimTimmons@gmail.com.
Just rate us.
And then we've got, one of my walking partners.
That's right.
I'll give it. We've got Jordy Searcy.
What's up?
Over here to my left.
So this podcast lasts 10,000 minutes.
It does.
It is a 10,000 minute experiment podcast.
Yeah.
So we experiment on how dumb we can get for 10,000 minutes.
That's great. Mm-hmm. And just one LaCroix for this week.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you've been on the road a bunch. to start out, you Ubered here.
I did. Yes.
Which we were a little shocked because there weren't enough cars in my...
There weren't. Usually there's like 9 cars.
Yes.
And there and there would have been a giant Sprinter van too, but there wasn't that.
Oh, okay. Do you rent that out? We need to talk later.
Yeah. I don't because it's my house.
Dang it.
Yeah, well, so talk
you
about that.
Come. Yeah. Come with us. It's going to be great.
So I've been living in a van for a couple of months now because I was going to be gone a good bit and was like, man, I don't really want to like pay rent for a place that I'm not going to be in a lot because touring is starting back up. And we had some like video things to travel for and such. And so I was like, I've always wanted to live in the Sprinter van, and I bought the van right before everything shut down in 2020. So I spent last year kind of building it out and doing some trips. And I was like, I think I'm going to try to live in a van.
So good.
I think that's love it. Make that a goal. And so it's been a sweaty couple of months, yeah. I will say. Planet Fitness showers are great.
Where do you shower?
Planet Fitness. Oh, yeah.
I love
everywhere,
that.
Everywhere you go.
There's so many of them. It's actually pretty awesome.
Gosh, you should get on some kind of.
It's like van networks, right? So you can like van life.
I have a number of friends that are doing it, so we'll meet up in random places. We are.
Oh,
and,
cool!
Yeah. What was that movie that just came out about people living in a van?
Oh, is I didn't see it.
What's your name?
Nomadland.
Nomadland.
I heard it was good, but I never saw it.
Yeah.
It was a movie or a show?
A movie.
A doc.
Yeah.
A movie.
It was yeah.
Yeah, okay. But it felt like a doc.
Whoa!
Any funny or odd or scary events that have happened?
Let's see. One time I was parked in Santa Cruz and surfing, and it was like midnight, and I was sleeping in my van completely naked, and then I forgot to lock the door, and I'm parked 10 minutes outside of town, and like I'm the only one at this random parking lot, like surf spot area. It's really remote.
You're allowed to park overnight?
Yeah. So it's one of the, it's enough remote so where you can park overnight.
Right.
And so the guy like opens the door because, I hadn't like gone to sleep yet. So I hadn't like thought to lock up yet. And he was just kind of unintelligibly, it was like, what's going on? And I was like, oh man, I gotta get this guy out of my house here, because yeah, I don't really know what his deal is, and it's midnight in the middle of nowhere. He just walked up. So I put a blanket around me and I run up to the front of the van, and I keep I don't really like guns. I don't think it's a great idea. Yeah. And so I keep a giant machete close.
Perfect. The alternative.
Because I'm like, I don't really, lighter, you know. Like, I would rather, you know, if you're going to get in a gunfight, that's maybe not a great place to start. Bringing a knife to a gunfight, you know, is either not going to work or it's going to stop a gunfight, because they're going to like, that guy has a machete. This is not worth it.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a ninja.
What like, else does he have? Just,
yeah. There's a naked guy with a machete.
Thing is, like, you can either, you know, defend yourself in your home with a handgun, or you can do that.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's going to be as effective in most scenarios.
You probably didn't even need the machete.
And
he was like, he wasn't really saying words, and my machete was kind of to my right, and I was like, man, I would have to either back up from the door and get this guy more room to get in the door.
In your house.
In my house.
Right.
Or I could drop the blanket and grab the machete.
Yeah, oh, man.
Talking, and I'm running through the options in my head. I was like, okay, where do we go here for you? And so I decide to just kind of, there's a pause in whatever he's saying, and so I just give him a little fist bump, and then slam the door, and then boost out of there, and it was all good.
Nice. So
you didn't show him anything.
Yeah. I didn't have
didn't
to pull
him.
A machete on him.
Yeah. You complimented him.
I was just like, man. I think he was really taken. He was like, oh, are we bros? What's going on? And then all of a sudden I was gone.
Boom.
And I realized as I was driving away, like, I was... Of all the weird people in that scenario, I was on his level.
Yeah,
I was a naked guy with a machete in a van in the middle of the night.
Shaping me, it's like turn the other cheek.
Yeah, he's the guy that opened the van door, but yeah. I was the guy that already had my clothes off. So
who's the crazy now?
Yeah.
Who offended who?
And I was like, you know. It's just good to make friends. Yeah, so that's what living in this van was like.
World,
I love that.
Did you drive away that night?
I drove or like
you stay
down
there?
To another spot. Mm. I was like, I'm gonna do their side. Yeah, so I sort of cleared out.
That would give me PTSD every time I went to bed.
For some reason, I don't know why it doesn't. I guess because it went well. I was
you were the
like
crazy.
I was like, oh, I guess that's as bad as it'll get, and that was fine. So I lock the van up every night.
Nice.
For sure. I like double check everything. So. Anyways,
I think we're done, you guys. That was great, too.
I learned a lot.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
We could extrapolate that for a while, but...
That's a book.
Total
I'd
book.
Read it. You got to write
on
it, man.
10,000 Minute Network, what to do.
The short stories. Yeah.
How to befriend a crazy being a crazy.
Yeah.
Somebody did say that...
Be all things to all people, baby.
You know, you know, find fire
Lord,
with crazy.
I lift your name on
as they say.
Well, somebody did say that if you're ever being accosted by somebody, that you should just
run at them naked, crazy.
Turn the other
was that it?
Cheek,
turn the other
you know
cheek.
What I'm saying?
That's what I'm saying. Wah, wah. I was like, what?
No,
the
but you kind of go crazy, like you act like you have got a few screws loose.
That's why is that? Why does that resonate so much with me? That's my mindset.
Well, it's just what you just did.
Yeah, I was.
You
it's
live
like,
it
because something
you fought crazy with crazy.
Well, I think it's because that's what I am. You know, like, it's not, I'm not acting crazy. I'm just like,
oh my gosh.
I'm just like, oh yeah, of course I can scare that guy off. Because I'm a crazy van boy, you know? Like,
can you explain that? Because I think there's more underneath that than just a joke.
Yeah. Well, you know, for example, in that situation, I'm like, if you've ever had to think through, like, okay, I need to defend myself against somebody, you know, I've been in that situation and I'm like, okay, I don't really actually think a gun is like a good fit for me, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like, that doesn't really seem like something I want to bring into the world. So I'm like, oh, well, you can intimidate people in different ways if you really need to.
Yeah.
So I don't know what I'm trying to communicate here. I don't really know that it's valuable for anybody.
No, I think you're doing great.
You think outside the box. And
think
this
outside
guy
the box.
Was too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or social settings and social scenarios are like maybe much more malleable than we think they are.
Ooh, God,
I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Continue.
The rules of engagement in human life and human interaction, and from culture to culture, like differ so much. Mm-hmm. And so I guess, you know, I think maybe being on the road as a musician kind of teaches you that too.
You're
you're like, oh man, I'm not really used to like brushing my teeth in a different hotel every morning. And you're like, but well, I need to have my daily routine. And so you wake up and figure out how to be a human on the road and in different places that you are. And you're like, well, I guess I have to kind of break some of these rules to feel normal and to feel healthy on the road.
Yeah.
And then you do, and you're like, oh, these can all be broken.
Well, we're doing great, you guys. We're really doing great. just a fun little story. So it was a while back. We had just gone on our first walk, Jordy. And my wife, she goes, have you heard this song, Tim? All my friends are talking about it. And she just plays me the song. And I'm like, oh, that's an awesome song. She's like, it's from this guy, Jordy Searcy, something like that. I'm like, oh. Honey, he was just here like 10 minutes ago. Like, it was the greatest moment.
That's awesome.
And I was just with a bunch of students this past week, and all of them were playing a bunch of your music. And it's just fun to hear all these different groups of people playing things that you're writing. And you're I want to be the church with people all week long.
Yeah.
Dude. Fast walker. Real fast walker.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So well, I was going to try to keep up.
You can give Chris a run for his money. okay, this week, you guys, the experiment was Be the Church Gathered Beyond the 80 minutes. Mm-hmm. We love the 80-minute gathering, or however long that can be. And some people don't love the 80-minute gathering, which is also great, too. I think we've all four of us have grown up pretty steeped in that 80-minute gathering. Mm-hmm. And again, we are not damning the 80 minutes. It's really wonderful. We're just saying there are 10,000 other minutes. And what does it look like for us to be the church in the other 10,000 minutes? So gathered, not just, you know. So how do you guys see that? How does that look? Or how have you seen that work?
It's funny. I feel like the system of church, at least that I've grown up in, that I feel like a lot of my friends have a perception is like, okay, we go to this place and we sing songs together and then we listen to this guy talk about his perspective on this book that we're all reading. And then there's not much conversation about it afterwards. And then we go home, you know. And I feel like, at least for me, going back to observing social norms and what could be changed, it's like, oh, wow. So if this is not a conversation and we're just listening to one perspective, then it's like, oh, are we doing what we need to do? You know, these days I've been interested in like, okay, what does conversation about God and things about God and our lives look like? And if we're not having that apart from the sermon on Sunday, it's like, oh, the sermon is just actually the first piece. And if we only do the first piece, then we're not actually diving into all of it.
Yeah. We rethink a lot of words on this podcast. So we've rethought the word blessed and going, wow, it doesn't mean what we think it means. And then we've been rethinking now just the word church. Church gathered, scattered.
And online.
Oh, yeah, and the church online as
well. Yeah. I would say it's been really interesting through the season of COVID. In a lot of ways, I guess socially, emotionally, whatever, we kind of all went into survival mode for a long time and had to think through instead of like, oh, man, what would be fun to do with this week? Who do I want to hang out with? Whatever. We had to go like, okay, how do I get what I need so that I can stay sane from week to week? And I think that happened in spirituality for me as well. And I was forced to kind of break down, okay, what is church? What are the components of church that I would get in the 80 minutes? And if I don't get those every week, then there's going to be a big problem, you know, if this goes on for months. So I had to break down like, okay, am I getting poured into by mentors? Am I hearing people talk about God, about scripture, about, you know, am I hearing sermons of different sorts? Am I talking about them with peers? Am I pouring into somebody else? And like, am I participating in like worship and music and that kind of thing? So I think for me, it was important to break all those down and be like, okay, I need to kind of go get those five things this week somewhere. Well, if I'm not getting there on Sunday morning. Yeah.
Can you say those five things again?
Yeah. Am I being poured into by somebody? Can I be ministered to by somebody? Can I hear some thoughts about God and talk about them with my friends? Yeah. Can I pour into somebody else? And can I like experience God in music or art somehow?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's a pretty great grid.
So
what are some of the ways you did that outside of the church?
Yeah. I think it was like thinking through, okay, who are the older people that I really respect in my life that I want to learn from and that I want to be like, how do I just invite them into my lives, you know? And Tim, you were one of those guys, you know, there was a few people that I would like, man, I just need to like call them this week and practice being vulnerable and say like, hey, yeah, this is going on. What do you think?
Yeah.
And then I would also think through like, okay, who am I doing that for? There are a couple of guys that are like younger brothers to me that I would like just call and check in on and, you know, kind of keep that flow going. And then it was also really, you know, every time I was like making dinner or something, I would call or FaceTime a friend and just be like, catch me up. What you been up to this week? And, you know, invite those spiritual conversations in. Music, I feel like I actually took a little bit of a break from music in a lot of ways over this past year. And I think I maybe...
From music?
I still wrote a bunch and I made a record. But like I wasn't, you know, I wasn't prepping for a tour. I wasn't thinking about wearing cool clothes, you know? Like, right. I wasn't like... okay, I need to hire this photographer and like be a bad model for an hour, you know?
Like, gosh, aren't photo shoots the worst?
Oh, man, the worst. Hilarious. We were doing stuff last week and like I was talking with Sam who does a lot of my photography and was like, it's like, yeah, you don't really expect as an artist you also have to be like just a terrible version of a model, you know? But it's like a skill that you have to have.
So
there's
true.
Like, so many things like
yeah,
that.
Oh. Where you're just, you know, and I was like, man, I have like three faces that don't look super dumb, yeah. But I have to know them. And I have to do those faces in order to make a dollar bill.
Yeah.
Okay, but here,
after the first 30 seconds, you're like, bud, this is all you're getting.
Yeah,
you can change the clothes,
right?
But this is it.
Yeah. Even this time, I like hired a friend to like, you know, a stylist, which is a friend who picked out all my clothes. But at first I was like, man, I'm so lame. I'm not going to hire a stylist. Like, who I think I am? And then I was like, and I realized, like, after I did it, I was like, man, I don't have to shop again this year. This is awesome. Yeah, I can wear shorts and a t-shirt. And then somebody else told me these clothes look good. And I can trust them.
Yeah.
And that's good.
Yep. Yeah. I've, you know, you just said there are like three faces that aren't dumb.
Right.
And I'm like, yeah, this one's hot. Look at this one. Oh, gosh. Yeah. And then you see the picture of it. You're like, that's stupid. That's stupid. And everybody seems to like the pictures that I think are just the dumbest of the. You're like,
and,
who is this?
And then you and
douche?
Then you realize you're like, man, this is a product. This is, I don't want to be a model for fun. Yeah. So like, we have to go with that picture instead. Uh-huh. You know, you're like, they all think it's good, and this is kind of about me and kind of not at all. So let's go with the one.
I love that. Exactly.
But I didn't play any music.
Right. Right. I took a step away from music, except for the album.
Yeah, exactly.
That speaking I'm now of tour. Stepping away from music, Jordy, something that I see in you that I love is your intentionality. I mean, anybody who's listening already can hear your intentionality with life. I think you do that in a lot of areas that I've just
appreciate
observed.
That.
And which
fooled you well.
Is you, totally. But intentional doesn't mean anything but just being intentional. Mm. So I can be intentional about a lot of things. But I think even just your decisions that you've tried to make in life are very intentional. Even your music decisions, you know, obviously not playing music, but making a record. But you're very intentional with that. I think that's a huge part of being the church outside of the 80 minutes is really just pushing for some kind of intentionality with people and being vulnerable and trying to pull out vulnerability in other people.
Yeah.
How have you guys experienced that? Why is this such a hard thing for the church? And I do not mean the institution. I mean the people that make up the institution. Why is it so hard for us to be intentional about the time in the 10,000 minutes? When we're so intentional about the 80 minutes, I mean, it's like we get dressed up, we go, we do the thing.
Well, it's very efficient. We can get it all done in 80 minutes.
Yeah.
So you know, like, it's not going to take up a lot of our time, and we have off that day anyway. Let's do it in the morning so we can do something afterwards.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you mean by get it all done?
Like, it's like, oh, well, we could get together, and if we go to church, and then we also sing, and we could hear, like, a whole sermon, and then we kind of, like, have our, like, God stuff for the week, I guess, and then we could probably get it done before lunch if we really wrap this up, you know? And so I definitely can feel like that sometimes, and maybe that's the American hard work efficiency structure in us that's made church, instead of this day of rest of... oh, let's gather together and like remember who we are and experience this thing. Hmm. It ends up being, you know, it's like, oh, well, yeah, we could do this a couple of times with a couple of services. Okay, this is great. You know, like, and this is coming from somebody who does things very quickly and efficiently and to a fault. I wonder if we would take more time if we treated it more like a tailgate, you know, than a doctor's appointment.
Okay, so why is that so hard for people? Why is it so hard for us? And I mean, it's the point of this entire podcast in 10,000 minutes is ultimately us being more aware, being intentional about our awareness of Jesus all week long with each other.
Yeah.
So why is this even a need?
I mean, again, it goes back to rethinking the word church, like we said. I grew up only seeing God's work through ministry. Mm-hmm. I only saw it within the building. So it's taken years to understand how being together outside of Sunday morning is also being with Jesus. Like, that alone is still really hard sometimes for me to understand when we've constantly kind of split up the mundane and then the church spiritual experience.
Right.
So it doesn't feel like, oh, it's constantly an invitation. Like, yeah. I am church with you all right now. Even now, I'm like, I wouldn't have put that together. Also, kind of what you said with Sunday mornings, there's an outline. I think it's also kind of messy to create new structures with people and be like, I don't really know how to guide this. I'm used to Bible studies. I don't really know what we're going to do now. Should we pray? Does that feel forced? You know, but that's the whole point. Like, it's going to feel a little uncomfortable to find out how to invite people into your life and gather with them.
Yeah, I mean, you said something about the mundane. I think our friend Kevin Dixon, who's part of our church community, he's kind of the leader of it. He has really helped me see a discipleship. I think I've seen discipleship as a book or a program, and it's something you kind of go through with people, and we're going to do this, where he's like, I don't think we need books. I don't think we need programs or studies are great, but that's not the point of discipleship. Discipleship is walking, I'm saying figuratively and literally, with people, loving people and being intentional about where is Jesus in the midst of all these things.
Right.
It's like, it's so much simpler than all the books that I've felt like I've needed my whole life.
Yeah. I don't think I've been to our church yet this year.
To the church building?
Into the church building. That I would consider like my church community. What's really interesting for me is I feel like I'm just now getting to the place where like church is happening naturally in life. I found like back on the road around all these people that all of my conversations naturally went around some sort of faith thing. And it wasn't forced and it wasn't weird.
Yeah.
And it, for the first time in my life, the angle that I've kind of been approaching things and the lens I've been looking through has me like pumped up about it. So it comes up in conversation.
Right, naturally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's not like, oh, I'm going to tell you about Jesus. It's like not that at all. It's like God is doing something bigger than anything I've ever like experienced. And it's like got me interested enough that I'm like, hey, here's what's going on like in my head. What's going on in yours? For instance, like, and these people picked us up. We played a show in Minnesota yesterday, day before. Awesome couple. This woman was telling us about one of their daughters who is like 16 or something. And she kind of got to the point where she's like, Mom, I don't know if I believe in God. I could tell she was really struggling through it. And from my perspective, I was like, oh, she's exactly where she needs to be.
Huh?
Like, she's finally to the point where she sees some of the cracks and she's like starting to challenge it. And that means like she cares enough to own it. And so it was a moment for me to say, hey, Mom, don't be like afraid of this. Let's lean into it. And here's some stuff that I've read and whatever, even in little conversation, be able to like form each other. And there were some theological things that slipped in there. And she was like, oh my gosh, I've never thought about that. I was like, yeah, go tell your pastor. See how that goes.
Chris, some stars go dim told me. One of the five things that you mentioned earlier is somebody giving you something to think about.
Yeah.
And we all want people to agree with us so much or to be with people who we agree with, and then we're all good somehow.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But even in that, it's listening to things that you may not agree with, but are making you think and process. But then how do we process in community with people and not just hold it all in ourselves? Mm-hmm. You know, it hit me. And as you were saying that, Chris, it's like, yeah, that's actually such a gift that people would say something. And I go, I don't know if I buy that.
Right? Yeah.
But why? Let's talk through why. And
or like with most new good ideas, part of it is, oh my gosh, that's awesome. I needed that so much. Part of it is like, man, I don't know about that. And that might be totally off base. Yeah. Or in a year, it might be the most helpful thing. You know?
I think one of the things getting back to it is being intentional, like we talked about with you, and saying, hey, I've got to have these relationships. Mm-hmm. If I've learned anything in this podcast, it's that faith happens best in community with other people. Mm-hmm. When you can bounce those ideas off each other, when you've got a support system. Now coming out of COVID, it's like, okay, how do we do this better than we did before? How do we not make it just what's happening in the building? Like, we've all had to find those relationships and outlets outside of the building this year. So how do we continue to do that and supplement with Sunday morning? But Sunday morning's not the whole thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Man, it sounds like, to experience what we know about Jesus is as important as knowing about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So like that Sunday morning, it's like we get to dive deeper into like who he is together, but throughout the week we're experiencing the peace that like you gave that lady in mm-hmm. that, it, you know, it's like, oh, I tasted and I got to see God in movement, not just on Sunday, but in my real life, personal experiences. Mm-hmm. So it's, it makes sense why it's so needed to be like partnered mm-hmm. with like the corporate gathering.
Yeah, I think we've like short-sighted God a bit and made him small and put him in the walls of our churches for a long time. And one thing that this year has done is said, hey, he's not going to fit in here this year.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Like, find him everywhere else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's the beauty of this podcast, I think, is like walking through the ways that we can wake up and see God in and through like everything.
Ultimately, this segment is being the church gathered beyond the 80 minutes. So I guess the question is what does that look like? What has that looked like in our lives? And what does that look like moving forward?
Mm-hmm. Mm.
I think for me, especially like being on the road for, you know, a month, like you said, not going to be in a church building for a while. You know, I'll definitely be looking for those moments of like, okay, how can I experience God in music with other people? And, you know, also be looking for, okay, what are my spiritual conversations this week?
Mm-hmm.
That's one I brought like 6 openers out for like a 6-week run, because I just wanted to hang out with like different friends on the road.
Yes, I love that.
Which is selfish and great of me.
Doing the same exact thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's like, I'm not touring with anyone I don't like.
Exactly.
Ever again.
Yeah.
Only friends.
Totally.
That's right.
And choosing a lot of those people was like, some of them were like, man, I would love to bring you on tour. And I feel like maybe there's some things that I could offer you because you're just stepping into this. And there's other people where I've been like, oh, man, I need you here. I'm going to need to talk to you that
week. Yeah,
so
exactly.
Please come on the road with me so that you can keep me sane, you know.
Yep.
But once again, that's being intentional.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's a really intentional time mm-hmm. of saying, I want to be the church with people all week long.
Yeah.
So what does being intentional about being the church during the 10,000 minutes look like for you? Remember, we're not trying to do something to earn God's love or be a more awesome Christian. We're actually just trying to be more aware of Jesus. We're actually just leaning more into our identity as his church all week long to actually truly be his representers in this world. So I just handed Jordy a guitar in my studio and said, hey man, would you just play this song? So here's just a little snippet of the song called Explaining Jesus.
If you've been raised a Southern Belle, born and bred for show and tell, but you lie down feeling never good enough, I'm so sorry for how it's been. We're broken artists with broken pens. We paint our pride and call it truth. I'm sorry no one explained to Jesus. See,
okay, well, speaking of being the church gathered, we are gathered as the church right now.
We are.
Indeed.
Which is really great, and we are not going to talk about anything really spiritual. Yet, maybe it is.
I mean, it's
maybe
layered. It could be layered.
If it is, spiritual.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
All things. Okay, mm-hmm. so mm-hmm. we're just going to throw a few words out at you.
Sounds good.
And, Jordy, I hate to be this guy. And the Olympics are happening right now, and I feel like I need to be that kind of guy. No, I do. this is called a speed round.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't a and go like, let me think about this. This is like first thing that comes to your mind.
Right.
I can edit. If it's inappropriate, I can edit.
Yeah.
I probably won't, but I can edit. So we're going to go around, and we actually don't have any questions. We're just going to try this. We're just going to try this out today for the first time. So I'll start. You want to go second?
Sure. Just your first thought,
you
okay?
Third.
Let's go.
All right.
I'll go
Tim,
first.
This is a speed round.
Oh my goodness.
Usually you lead with, well, what was your most recent moral failure?
Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah,
that's and we don't Tim edit question. That one.
Yeah.
So do you want to... Wanna...
Most recent moral failure... I am just
being
so...
naked with a machete.
Don't answer. Yeah. Don't answer.
Like, are you going to let him answer?
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
I am just so... I know that I need to get better at this, and I recognize this in myself. I'm just not kind to people that are like working at a counter or at a, I'm just so shut down. I'm like, yeah, totally. Yeah, give me the thing. Hotel key. Okay, cool. Yeah. I'm starting to realize, you know, these guys are working hard. You know, these guys and gals that serve us in everyday life that are at a drive-thru.
Oh, man.
Maybe if I was working at the drive-thru, I would not only would I not do as good of a job, but maybe I wouldn't even have a good as a, you know, how do they have a better attitude working in a drive-thru than I do getting a hamburger
in
120 seconds?
Yeah. right.
I once got disproportionately upset at this poor woman at the Arby's counter when they changed the chicken sandwich.
Oh my gosh.
And my wife, Mackenzie, who's just a way better person than me, just let me know all about it.
In, like, in front of everybody? Or
And probably for a while afterwards. This was years ago. I'm still embarrassed about it. It's so bad.
Oh, man.
I feel you.
Pet peeves.
What really annoys me?
Oh, that was my question for you.
Yeah. I have to say, I am so go with the flow that not a whole lot bothers me. And I think like maybe more things should. And then my life would be a little bit better.
What about the people at the fast food restaurants?
People at the fast food. Like, well, it's
is that a pet peeve?
It's less that I'm like mad at them. It's more that I'm just like, oh yeah, not like just interacting with them.
This is a transaction.
Mm-hmm. This is a transaction. I'm not going to give you any level of personhood.
Okay, so
you know.
Sorry, I'm going to
go way back into church.
I told
again.
You it's layered. Oh, yeah. It's layered. Man. Wow.
What about the Speed simulated people on phones, like when you call AT&T and you get hello, how can I help you?
Tell me. So much better.
What do you need to
know? That's better for you.
Oh,
you know what
so
makes me more mad when the little fake click hold on and it sounds like I'm like no one is freaking typing.
No,
just licking the keypad.
No one is typing.
Licking the keypad
makes me so mad.
Who do you think I am? I'm not stupid.
I love that, because what I'm doing is like, I'm so glad I don't have to talk to a real person. This is so much better.
Don't patronize me.
It's real.
I'm on
your side
because
true.
I'm so introverted.
Guys,
that like making
accept me.
Making like if I'm making a phone call to somebody and they don't answer, part of me goes like, oh, thank God I didn't answer.
Yes,
I didn't want to talk to a person.
Jordy, that is so. I'm not judging you. I'm just amazed.
No, you could go ahead. You go right
no,
ahead.
I'm. This is beautiful. It's like it. Mm-hmm. I feel worse about my life a little bit because I have a lot of strong words.
It brought up a visceral feeling for me. Yeah. Just that typing sound. Like, I'm angry right now. It brought it right to the surface.
Take another walk. We're double up today. Oh, thoughts? Machete.
That's not your word?
No, I'm kidding. I don't know. Okay, oceans or mountains?
Oceans. It's oceans for sure.
Wow.
What is it about oceans?
It's just where I feel the most at home. Surfing's the best. There's so many things about it. That, I mean, there's like the things about it that I like, then there's the intangibles. And the things about it that I like, it's like, oh, just like sitting out and looking at something really beautiful and being really calm. And then like riding a roller coaster every, 3 minutes is what it is. And it's so beautiful. But then I just grew up in and around the water, and I felt so home and so connected to God growing up like at the ocean. Mm-hmm. And so I just remember so many like critical thoughts and realizations and ideas that happened when it was what feels like just me and God, and it's just me in the ocean and just like being in and around it. I don't know. If you talk to other surfers, you'll probably get a similar answer of like, oh yeah, man, I love it. And it sounds pretty weird, I know, and there's not, there's a lot of intangibles there, but I'm definitely thinking through, okay, do I need to move out to the West Coast to be close to the water, at least for a period of my life, because it's a very important thing.
When I see the ocean, I literally breathe deeper.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
It's such a weird
it's a soul connection thing for sure.
Okay, here's mine. I've had a great view all podcast of this fat tat on your left thigh, and I need to know the story behind that bad boy.
I kept watching you look at his thigh. I'm like,
I was trying to read it.
Oh yeah, this tat, which everyone on the podcast can see, is my family crest, and it takes up. It's my only tattoo, the first, and I think the last. And it's it hurts so bad. It was awful. It's this like dragon atop a shield being stabbed, and there's like a knight helmet that says Cersei. It's got 3 stars, and Cersei, France, is where my family is originally from. And me and my brother lived together for the last like 4 years, and the last year was like, we need to get huge matching tattoos, because this family crest Crest was always hanging at our house, and we had, my mom had another print made. She's like, here you go. Now you guys both have these like hanging family crest things. And we were like, that's not enough. So I have this giant thigh tat, and Liam, my brother, has a giant one on his calf. So it's a pretty extra.
I like it. There's
thing.
Like some identity though. It's yeah, like yeah. remember mm-hmm. who you are mm-hmm. when
it's,
you see this.
It's kinda. Definitely like, and with tattoos, I feel like I need to get something that I know I'm always going to be really stoked that I have. Yep. And even if this looks really bad and dumb one day, I'll still be so glad that I have it. Yeah. I'll be like, yeah, look at this weird, bad, dumb thing that reminds me of my brother. It's great.
Yeah.
But instead, it's a dragon and a sword, and I think it's great. So,
well,
added
it.
Plus.
It's showing a lot of thigh, and I'm sorry, Moy. I feel a little, like it's a little inappropriate.
There's a lot of thigh.
The table is blocking.
Actually, that's one of my favorite things about COVID. You said, like, I don't have to like get dressed up or look cool anymore. Like, all of my music friends now, every time I show up, it's like, really short shorts, some t-shirts, and we're just like living life.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wore shorts to tennis court. 5 shows last week. Did not care.
So I saw your post. That's all your story. Man.
I was like, it's hot outside. Who am I trying to impress?
There you go.
Forget this.
Now everyone's wearing shorts. So you're an influencer.
Let's go.
Okay, so best song you never wrote.
Best song. Why did I just think Live Like You Were Dying by Tim McGraw?
Oh,
because
that song is so good.
It's so good.
You just exposed yourself.
Oh, I love it.
That's my go-to karaoke song.
Ooh.
Because I think that when you sing that at karaoke, it's like, it's a bit for sure. Everybody's like, this is a bit.
Yeah.
But everybody also goes a little bit, even if it's subconsciously. Like,
still good.
Man, that's a
okay,
good
Tim,
song.
Okay, Tim, favorite karaoke song. Go to for karaoke song.
Oh, I don't do karaoke.
You've never done it?
That's right.
I just don't do it.
That's a whole podcast. Go to
Why not?
Karaoke
Are we recording in a karaoke bar? Are we going?
Oh my God.
We really should.
Yeah, you guys can start your own podcast. Tim's is out.
What keeps you from karaoke?
Come on.
Gosh,
it's not fun.
It's not fun for me. I love watching
other
people.
I don't want to work.
You can kind of sing, and I can kind of sing. That's what I do for a living.
If I'm
going to
sing, you're
going
to pay me.
No. I can sing good enough, but it's like everybody who's generally doing karaoke is
screaming, "Don't Stop Believing" at the top of your lungs.
Vocalists.
Yeah, the vocalists are out. Karaoke night.
And it's
really
you take yourself
so
serious.
I don't sound like that when I'm
you don't use your real voice when you're karaokeing. My go to is "I'll Make Love to You" by Boyz II Men.
That's good.
Let's go.
I love it.
I would I feel like you would kill Boy Named Sue. And I think it would be great.
Yeah. No, I can do it. I can do it. I'm not saying I can't do it. I'm just saying
I don't prefer.
I play music for a living. I could do karaoke.
I'm not dumbing down my art for this.
Yeah, I will not.
It's not a circus.
Okay, you got one?
Says a lot about you.
Or a karaoke song.
No, I don't have a karaoke song.
Wow, you don't
either? No, I panic. Yeah. I get overwhelmed with the expectation of what I should sound
You know
like.
What I love about
you?
Hey, let's talk about identity and karaoke for a second. I used to not want to do it because I didn't want to didn't want to do that, but then I learned how to like be bad at it.
That's freeing, what's so fun.
And it I don't have to be perfect when I sing.
So you perfect. Choose a song that you know you're can't
not
do.
Gonna sing.
You pick one that you're just like, this is all the way out of my reach.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's what
and then there's freedom in it. It's an exercise.
Yeah.
I want to challenge you this week to go sing some karaoke.
Wow.
Even if it's like
practice?
On your phone, like that's your practice.
Well, she dances at home.
I know. It's kind of the same.
Listen, guys,
it's the same.
Okay, this is what happens. We go to the karaoke bar, and then the minute they're like, "Moy, you should sing. Let's do like Beyonce," and I'm like, "No, I don't want to do Beyonce."
Right.
And then I'm just like in a corner, like, "Can't pull off Beyonce."
Yeah, exactly. It's like no.
I'm like, guys, I gotta go. My parking was 2 hours. I get so overwhelmed.
We
and
just
I'm
got
like,
here.
There's. Once a year, Moy.
I've been like dog sitting, and I'm real worried.
Inner critic is just so loud at karaoke night.
If I had to choose one for you, it might be
some EDM song that has like one hook. Like that's all I got to do.
What's that Daughtry song?
No,
I'm coming home.
That one.
Listen, Jordan.
This
is the first and last time we ever hang out. You gave me a Daughtry song. No offense if you're a fan, but like, no.
I know Chris Daughtry listens to this podcast.
Friendship
and,
yeah.
ever.
Little known
I've
fact.
I've always wanted to meet him.
Second Stars Go Dim concert ever was with Chris Daughtry, like 2007.
Ooh, really?
Oh, yeah.
What?
Heck straight yeah. off of American Idol. Man.
That's great. That's a bill right there.
There you go.
Wow. Well,
okay, you got one?
I learned a lot about myself. I pass. I'm blanking. I'm still thinking about like what karaoke song I could do.
We hit some ideas.
Like the dogs. I'm gonna spiral. Goo Goo Dolls,
you know.
My goodness.
A little known fact.
Mm. Any other questions? Let's see.
I played the Republican National Convention in 2016. The day that the day that Trump was selected as the candidate.
That's so impressive.
Because I hadn't even put out a record. I was like on The Voice barely, and one of my friends is just a very, very like so left leaning, and he was literally like, well, they hired my company to get the entertainment for the RNC, so I'm going to stick it to him, and I'm going to get this guy that was just barely on The Voice. And it was like, how much you charge? And we were like, whatever this huge made-up number is, like, whatever, we'll pay it. And we're like, what?
Yeah,
kept me and my drummer alive for, like, literally 6 months.
I love that.
Oh,
classic.
Wow.
You were there.
Oh, yeah.
Some of my friends
we were
going to
open for the Beach Boys, but they pulled out.
Oh,
they were like, we're
man.
Not doing it. And so it was
trying to save their career.
Yeah.
There's a lot of gold in here, Tim. Good luck.
That's my weird gig.
Yeah. That's your weirdest
gig. Any weird gigs?
I did a GOP convention in 97, 98. I did in San Diego. There was a big GOP convention.
Who was the candidate?
Was it Bush?
Yeah, maybe so, I guess.
Yeah.
I was only 12.
We played with Everclear. Yeah. It was our band we were called Simple. It was a guy named Greg Laswell, who's just an amazing artist.
Oh, I love this.
He and I and this other guy, and it was a tragic, tragic gig.
You guys are just drinking Everclear on stage.
Yes. No, so they had us all set up. Sponsored. We were telling everybody at Point Loma where we went to school, like, we're playing the GOP convention. You know, they told us there'd be
like
thousands
it's an awesome
and thousands
thing.
Yeah, yeah. of students all in this place. And so they're like, okay, you guys are on in about an hour. And right at that time was when they were all supposed to walk over to the actual convention center and we're outside. So there are maybe three people out there, like the custodians picking up trash.
Ew.
You know. So it was a pretty good game.
I played a show last week at a at a water park. Which
oh,
I've done. I've done
awesome.
This. No, here's what happens: this opener plays to we're at the wave pool.
Yeah,
like thousands of people in the wave pool. Which I'm like, no, thank you. Anyways. And then we're walking on stage, and you just, like, they clear the pool out. Some kid pooped in the pool.
Serious?
Oh, that's
so awesome.
Stop.
So we played for 45 minutes.
To nobody.
To an empty wave
to
pool.
To a piece of crap.
I was like, listen, we're gonna go ahead and start. And so, like, the last 15 minutes, they like, open the pool back. Everybody rushes in. I'm like, you're doing this? You're coming back?
Jumping in the water.
That's
so awesome.
That's just one of my weird shows from this week.
Oh, my goodness.
It's so true.
It never gets better. It's just, you know, more random craziness.
Good. I mean, I played a festival with my old band, but it was like, it also flooded, so there was nobody there.
Yeah.
And we were like the first act. That's my only weird one.
Are you even in a band if you haven't played for no one?
That's so true.
Oh, man.
Well, speaking of no one, hopefully there are more than 12 people listening to this podcast at this point.
Subscribe, share it.
Haven't given up on us yet. Thanks, Mom.
Thank you, Jordy.
Thanks for having me. It's a blast.
Fun. You're so welcome. Well, I hope that was good for your soul. I always love these conversations. They're good for mine. I've had a really hard year and some really intimate relationships of mine. And I've been going through a lot of grief, trying to figure out what does grief look like. And so because of that, we're going to do a little one-off this next week. So this next podcast is actually going to be with my mom, who's a therapist, and she's just wise. So Chris, Moy, and I are all going to chat with my mom, and I think you're going to love that episode. I think this week the practice would be, what are the things that you've been grieving or have already grieved or are grieving in this moment? And then I think that'll be fun to talk through it this next week. All right, guys, thank you. So as usual, would you guys please rate, like, and subscribe to this podcast? And please share it with some friends. It is so fun to hear your comments. You can always find us on Instagram and on the Facebooks and all those other places. And if you guys want to get free text messages, please sign up. They're really hopefully encouraging to you because they're good for me. So thanks, you guys. Truly such an honor to spend these minutes with you.